than one that's not a bust, that you have a couple options there. You just need better help on the edges to get to the quarterback.
When you talk about an edge guy, Ford, you know, they brought in, and he's a guy that's kind of long and, you know, probably, you know, can run sideline to sideline. How much you think is a Niners brass looking at Josh Allen saying, we got a guy like that? That's why it's probably Nick Bosa that more fits what we're trying to do on that other side.
That's true. And then you really start breaking down what exactly body type do you want? What kind of position guy? You want a guy with a hand in the dirt or a guy just rushing the quarterback, a guy that can drop into coverage? There's a lot of different stuff. I mean, Dee Ford's not going to be a guy dropping into coverage, covering a tight end coming out of the backfield or anything like that. And you know what, Lo? I mean, he's not that big of a guy. I mean, we met him last Wednesday.
Right.
He's obviously a very good football player, but he's not this monster defensive end.
I'm with you.
He's a fast edge rusher. Bosa's a little bit of a bigger guy. Obviously, I mean, they have size, and Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner. And listen, Buckner can play on the edge, too. I mean, they can flex him out the way that Calais Campbell did with the Cardinals and Jaguars. I wanted to see more of that from the Niners last year when they were losing. I might as well try some new things. But you know, you're right. I mean, it's obviously a position of need because whatever pass rush you get, it's going to help out your secondary, and that secondary still has a lot of questions and issues.
With that being said, Cam, I'm glad you went there because that's what I've been kind of talking about. If Josh Allen is so much kind of like Ford because they're both light and necessarily they're not a guys that are good against running, Joey Bosa's a little bit heavier. I totally agree with you. Now if that's the case and you move Buckner out, now you have Buckner and Ford on the two outside guys. Now is Quentin willing, or do you think this Niner organization is saying, man, we have a guy. If someone decides to take Joey Bosa one, now if we go out and get a Quentin Williams, now we can be even more solid in the interior.
You can. You know, the problem is they have guys. And I know that they're Earl Mitchell was their nose tackle. And those nose tackles are only playing about 20% in today's NFL. They used a high draft pick last year on Kentavious Street, a guy that had an ACL, did not play last year. But he's a bigger guy that nobody knows about. And this guy's super strong. Remember last year, he kind of came on at the end of December to practice at least with the team, and Buckner gave him the nickname Baby Hulk. So we kind of forget about some of these other guys that might be really good at lurking in the shadows. So they may already have a Quentin Williams in Kentavious Street that nobody knows about. Like I said, there's other positions of need. I don't think defensive tackle is that spot.
Cam Inman, our 49ers insider from the Bay Area News Group, with us here on 95.7 The Game. The 49ers were apparently very smitten with the idea of trying to trade for Odell Beckham Jr. In the end, it didn't work out. So be it. He goes to the Cleveland Browns, and we'll see what happens there. But A.J. Green in Cincinnati, last year of his deal. Cincinnati's got a new head coach. They're going through some changes. I'm sure at some point Green might want to play for a contender like Tony Gonzalez. He might actually want to do something in the playoffs one day. Why not kick the tires there? Any thought as to whether or not the Niners might try to make a play for a guy like A.J. Green?
You know, I think Beckham was way more enticing. And he's younger, he's probably healthier, even though he has battled injuries the last couple of years. Didn't he have like a toe issue last year that kind of sidelined him?
Yes, he was batting a toe injury.
You know, those toe injuries, they're painful, man. You ever had a bad toe injury? It's not a comfortable thing. I mean, that actually might be the most painful thing when you have to deal with getting a shot. I had to do that. I don't want to get into this and ruin everybody's breakfast, but when you get a toenail removed, that is painful. But then when you have like a turf toe, that can be a career-ending injury. So I don't know if I would go for it. If you're going to go with A.J. Green, you're not entertaining a high offer like you would with Odell Beckham. That's like further down the chart there for him, but I mean, if you can maybe steal a Julio Jones out of Atlanta, then you're talking, but they're not going to get rid of him either. So I think the way the Niners are looking at it is, you know, you have a couple high draft picks. If you could use that number two on the best player available, which will probably be Bosa, can you move up and get a wide receiver later in the first round? Because I love this kid out of Arizona State, Nikhil Harry.
Me too. Me too.
This guy looks like just an absolute big body playmaker. There's a couple big body playmakers in this draft at wide receiver, so I would not break the bank to bring in an A.J. Green. Odell is a different character because I think everybody wanted to see that happen, and instead he's in Cleveland.
Check him out at the Bay Area News Group. Our 49ers insider, Cam Inman, here on 95.7 The Game. Cam, we appreciate the time. Thank you very much for jumping on. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, everybody have a great day. Thanks for having me.
See you, Cam.
Yeah.
Agree with what he's saying. People very excited about Odell Beckham. Highly productive, younger, all that stuff. But Green being older also means he's cheaper. Final year of his deal, I think Cincinnati would be willing to at least entertain that. It's Cincinnati. Where are they going?
They
right?
got to get, you know, even if they get a wide receiver, if they move up late in the first round and get their wide receiver, you still need another. All right? They're not one wide receiver away. Their wide receiving core, I think, is way too thin. You can add the
you
tight
don't
end
like
if
Pettis
you want.
Or any Kendrick Bourne,
I like,
the young guys.
But
stepping
I
up.
Think you got a bunch of threes.
You'll go on the date, but you're not proposing or anything.
Exactly.
Like that.
You know what? I'll play the course. Not going to join the club.
There you go.
That makes sense. I like that one. Yeah. It makes great sense. I'll tell you, Jim Cosmore in for Dan Diddley, ladies and gentlemen. No round of applause or anything. We're just announcing that Jim Cosmore is in for Dan Dibley.
That's because we're
not
going to
stand on ceremony around here. Yeah, Dibs isn't here. We don't know where the buttons are.
Coz,
he took him to Vegas.
I will tell you this, Coz.
Unfortunately for you,
we're all out of time.
We're all out of time. But maybe you can tell him.
Is that
what you're going to do?
Yeah, so we'll tell you this, Coz. But we're all out of time.
Sorry for stealing your thunder. I feel terrible about that. That was really well done.
No, you don't.
Really well done.
No, you don't.
Okay, well, one thing I know that you've been excited to get to for about a day and a half now. Free agency grades.
Absolutely.
For the NFC West. We got to get to that. We got to preview the Pacers. We got to get to these comments made by Steven Jackson about your Warriors. All of that is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. And for more on what's coming up on the game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Money Spot, brought to you by our friends at Cache Creek Casino. It's Cache Creek's Year of Fortune. Somebody's going to win $8,888 at 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. every Saturday and Sunday. Visit CacheCreek.com. Huge day. Happy holidays. Take Oregon plus the points. Boom. You see what I'm doing there, Coz?
Wow, I do see what you're doing.
Throughout the course of the show, weaving in and out of degenerate gambling picks for March Madness. We opened the show with a bang. We said, hello, good morning, and then we jumped right into it. UC Irvine plus the points. Other shows, they may screw around. Try to feed you a lot of foreplay. Not us. Straight to the burger. Straight to the main entree. Oregon plus two against Wisconsin. Oregon's won eight straight. They've covered the spread in eight straight. This game will be in San Jose. I believe it's tomorrow. It will be in San Jose. Here's the kicker. Oregon, as many of you know, located in the Pacific time zone. Short flight down to San Jose. Wisconsin, five-hour flight, two time zones away. That's big for basketball. That's big coming off these conference tournaments. You give Oregon plus a couple points. They're rolling eight straight, covered in eight straight. We're going to take the Ducks. So the two we've given out so far, the Anteaters of UC Irvine plus the points over Kansas State and Oregon plus the points over Wisconsin. How are you feeling? I noticed Lowe has locked in the words of the immortal Steph Curry.
I'm locked and loaded, writing them down.
I'm writing them down too, but I got a question on Oregon. Oregon played in a much weaker conference.
I can't go much further with the analysis. Okay. I really gave you all of it.
Gotcha.
So if you're about to say, what do you think about the point guard? I don't know. I know Zion Williamson.
I wasn't going
to
do that.
I know Ja Morant.
Yeah.
And I really don't know anyone else in college.
I wasn't
going to
get too granular. I'm just going to say.
I bet it, because I don't watch
it. Wisconsin played in a much tougher conference. So is it hard to gauge at this point? Because you're taking Oregon's heat, finishing strong, doing well in a really bad conference this
year. That's big. That's a great question when you try to handicap this stuff. You see this with bowl season, too. Conferences stacking up against one another. The Pac-12, we see them every bowl season. They struggle.
They're trash.
And in college basketball, a lot of people going into that conference tournament, it was basically play a lottery ticket. If you were going to bet a future on someone to win the Pac-12, play a lottery ticket because it wasn't the ACC where you have teams at the top and then you have the rest.
And
wide open.
You're right. And, Cozy, you would have to admit, what is the best college football team in the West Coast? Be honest. Fresno State. I'll help you out.
Okay.
Actually, you know what?
Be honest, Coz. If you said Fresno State beat US UCLA, they already played them. Would you not say in the West Coast, the best team in the West?
Damn,
I got to get the flag for that.
I know.
No.
Throw Arizona in there. Throw the teams there. I mean,
be careful with your answer, Coz. Fresno State has turned quite a quite a bit of profit for this show over the last couple
of
years.
Is that so?
Jeff Tedford, you are welcome here anytime, my friend. You can replace Lowe
like
today if you would like.
Wow.
I love you, but I mean.
It was a little painful.
Very. Yeah.
You've seen how many spreads he's covered? Come on.
And I've been.
Let me ask you, though.
Old chucklehead. Laughing at himself. That's a tough beat.
Is that because he's new on the job and people weren't ready for him? People are going to catch up to him?
Been in 3 years now.
All right.
He's good.
Because I like Tedford. He's good.
He's good.
Who do you think coached me when we were winning at Fresno State? Tedford. He was my offense coordinator.
Yeah.
Who do you think wanted me to come coach for him when he's at Cal? Tedford. Why? Because he knows I know football. So,
What about when he went to the BC Lions? Did you go up there?
No, it was a hard pass. But
California boy.
Yeah, California kids are just a little bit tougher. So Tedford and I, we have
the Canadians.
What?
They drink Molson Ice. You drink sangria. Like edge to the hard life that is the Yukon territories. Back to business. Yeah. Back to business. We got to get the Stack Jack's comments on the Warriors. We got to get the Kellerman's comments on the Warriors. Everyone's got something to say about the Warriors these days. That's what happens when you're on top. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. You want haters in your life. It means you're doing something right. So we will get to all that. We'll get to your Indiana preview as well. But we've been trying to get to this for 2 days. The time has finally arrived. Grades for the NFC West in free agency. Now, free agency isn't done yet. Ndamukong Suh, for example, is still out there. Still out there. But the majority of free agency is done. Teams have an idea of what they still need, and more likely than not, they're turning to the draft to fulfill those needs. Now, Lo, how would you like to go about this? You want to go team by team? I'm open to any suggestions here.
I think, Joe, do we go team by team, give them the grade, see where they're at, where they upgrade, where do they stay the same, or do they improve?
Where would you like to start? Pick a team. Team.
Let's go with Seattle. You know what?
Seattle Seahawks.
Let's go Seattle Seahawks.
How do you think they're doing? What do you like about free agency? Not a lot of action in Seattle.
And that's the thing. Seattle Seahawks, to me, they haven't necessarily gotten better. Yeah, you see some of the moves. KJ Wright, they brought in. Jason Myers, you see they brought in some of the guys. Did they really get better? They brought in, you know, offensive guard, brought in kicker, you know, outside linebacker. I don't necessarily think this team necessarily improved. I think they stayed at the middle of the pack.
Let's talk about what they lost. Earl Thomas, gone. Cornerback Justin Coleman, gone. J.R. Sweezy, the offensive guard, signed with the Arizona Cardinals. Mike Davis is gone. A couple other minor pieces. They re-signed K.J. Wright, D.J. Fluker, and Michael Kendricks. Jason Myers, the kicker. Mike Iupati, former 49er, was brought in as well. So by and large, lose some, resign some, not a whole lot going on in free agency. I think they're worried about the Russell Wilson situation.
Yeah.
Word's starting to leak that Russ might want to get that new lucrative deal. He might want to be the highest paid quarterback in football. You know he's already 30, Coz?
No, I did not
Russell
know
Wilson
that.
Is 30
You're
years
kidding
old.
Me.
I saw that this morning. I thought to myself, you got to be kidding. He's
one
got more
get
year
paid.
Left on the deal.
He's got to get paid. At some point, you're right. He does have to get his, unless his whole motive of working is, I get it. I keep my salary at a decent level, still get paid, but I allow my team to have enough so that we're going to be competitive each and every year. I just trust in what they're doing. I don't think that they're a team. Remember when the Seahawks and the Niners were supposed to have this great, you know, rivalry for the next 5-10 years? The Seahawks have held up their end of the bargain.
Yeah.
So they seem to have a way that they do things that they can continue to compete. I trust in what they do.
Ultimately, how do you grade their free agency spend?
You know what? I just look, I'm giving C. I think that you can't say necessarily they got a B. They didn't necessarily upgrade. You definitely can't give them an A. So I'd give them a C.
Tell me about the Arizona Cardinals. They lose Antoine Bethea, Marcus Golden, Deion Buchanan, Ode Abushi, and wide receiver J.J. Nelson. They end up gaining inside linebacker Jordan Hicks, cornerback Robert Alford, Terrell Suggs, old T-Sizzle. As mentioned earlier, J.R. Sweezy, the offensive guard from Seattle, signed with them. Offensive guard Max Garcia, Charles Clay, Brett Hundley, Brooks Reed, Kevin White, former first-round pick of the Chicago Bears at wide receiver, free safety Josh Saul, all in for the Arizona Cardinals. What do you think about what they've done?
I think this is one of the teams that did more moves than anybody in free agency, Joe. You look at what Arizona did. I think they got some parts they got older, some parts they got younger, especially at the guard position. You look at Iupati, was here in San Francisco, a great guy. Guy's a road grader, but he's getting a little older. Guy's 32 years old. What'd they do? They went out and addressed that. Brought in Max, who's 27. You think about what they did. Brought out J.R. Sweezy, who's 30. So they got younger at the guard position. They brought in T-Sizzle. They brought in some veteran guys. I like some of the moves that they made. I just think that this team had more turnover. You look about in free agency in this particular conference. I think they had a lot of moves. I just think Arizona Cardinals, in my opinion, you got to give them a B-. They did make some moves to get younger, to try to protect their quarterback and also improve that running game.
Whoever that quarterback ends up being. And remember, they also ended up signing Brett Hundley because he's going to be in the mix no matter which of the two bigger names. If you assume they take Kyler Murray, you assume Josh Rosen is out.
Yeah, Brett Hundley, UCLA quarterback, you know, played in, you know,
in Green Bay
behind Aaron Rodgers.
So you think you've helped yourself in the room.
Yes.
At least in the room, you hope you've helped yourself. I think for all the moves they made, they were the one team in the division that had the most moves that needed to be made. They were the worst team going. They were god-awful. And there's a reason that the 49ers and the Cardinals are the two teams that made the big moves. You bring in T-Sizzle because he knows how to win, right? Because he knows he gets in the room, he helps guys. That's a good signing. And I like the roll of the dice on Kevin White. You mentioned him as the former first-round pick of the Bears.
I swung and missed on that one. I love Kevin White out of West Virginia.
But I would have loved the 49ers going out and getting this guy. That's going to be a low-cost opportunity to see if the guy has anything. He just didn't have it with the Bears. He got hurt, fell behind, had a new coach, you're done. Your first-round pick, I think he was number 7 in the first round. Someone had to see some skill there, so I like the signing. I think it's better than a B minus what Arizona did, but again, they had more moves that they needed to make.
If I'm a Niner fan, I'm pretty happy with what the Cardinals are doing because I'm not sure exactly what the plan is. There's a plan.
I
just don't know what it is, and it's not really taking shape. Maybe it involves Kyler Murray at some point, maybe it doesn't, but Cliff Kingsbury, and I went on this rant the day after the hire, Cliff Kingsbury has never won. He's never won anything anywhere. He didn't win at Texas Tech. And the first thing people will tell you is, well, wait a minute, it's Texas Tech. You're going up against Texas and Oklahoma, and you've got a lot that you're dealing with there. Yeah, but the two guys before him, Tommy Tuberville and Mike Leach, both had vastly more success than Cliff Kingsbury did. Leach had a great run at Texas Tech, and Tuberville, widely considered to be a bust there, still had a better winning percentage than Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury comes in, he has Patrick Mahomes, he had Baker Mayfield, he had all these first-round quarterbacks. He didn't end up doing anything with them. So he gets fired, then he becomes the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. What does he know about coaching in the NFL? Okay, well, hopefully he has a good general manager to surround him with good people. Oh, wait, it's Steve Keim, who just hired some dude last year. He fired in 1 year. I can't even remember. What was Steve Wilkes? Was that the coach?
Yeah, Wilkes was
Steve Wilkes. They gave him 1 year and then they ran him out. So you made that decision. Then you brought in Kingsbury. To me, if you are a Niner fan, you're looking at Arizona and you're thinking, keep doing what you're doing. You are going to be the new dysfunctional franchise in the NFC West.
You're the Browns.
Well, you're now us. You're now the 49ers.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
As bad as it's been for the Niners, you're taking that mantle and we're going up a notch. We're going up to at least step 3. We're done being step 4. We're step 3. That's what I say about Arizona. So, moving along.
If I want to be charitable to the Cardinals, though, I'll say this. When you say, I don't know the lane they're taking just yet, I would say, you know what? They're flushing out what they thought they started last year under Wilkes, and they're starting from square one. So, when you say, and I'll agree with you, I don't quite know exactly what they're doing, but you got to flush everything out before you can start to pick a lane. They're that far behind everyone else.
All right, based on these early grades, so far so good for the Niners. Let's go to the Rams, the cream of the crop in the NFC West. In Clay Matthews, Eric Weddle, the boat, best of all time, Blake Bortles. Out, Roger Saffold, LaMarcus Joyner, Mark Barron, and we're still not sure what's going on with Ndamukong Suh, but he's out there, probably not coming back to the Rams unless he wants to go real cheap. What do you think about the defending champs free agency period?
See, the Rams are interesting to me.
You like Weddle, don't you?
Because I like Weddle. Do I love Weddle? I don't love him anymore, but I like him. I think that you look at what they lost. Is he an upgrade? No, but is he a solid veteran? Absolutely.
Is he a guy you want? Is he a guy you want in your room?
He's a guy in the locker room. He's a guy that's familiar with who? Wade Phillips. He's brought in there for a reason. Wade was with me in San Diego, and so was Weddle. So these guys are rekindling their relationship. So you look at Wade saying, here's a guy that knows my defense, understands what I'd like to do. So I think they got a smart guy that they brought in. This is a team to me that's just up against the cap, and you see all the guys that had to leave and depart there. Yeah, they kept Dante Flowers there, did a 1-year deal, re-signed him, which is good. I like the move by bringing in who? A veteran guy, outside pass rusher, Matthews. Here's a guy that can get after it. He's a smart player, knows he can play to run, can play against the pass. He's really good at the point of attack. So you brought in some guys to maintain. This is a
Both
team.
Guys a little bit old, though.
They are a little old. But what they can do is give you plays. Especially because you got a Dante Fowler who can be your every down, then you can bring in a guy getting Matthews in, who's fresh. And so now you're not asking him to do what he did in Green Bay. He was asked to play a lot more reps there. So now you're looking at him in a situational type of guy on the field. So the Rams, in my opinion, I think that they're just a C+. I don't give them an A. They didn't really fall much, but they lost a lot of depth. If you think about all the guys that left, a lot of depth they lost.
You know, with the game going more towards offense, I find it interesting that a lot of these teams, the Rams with some of the guys you mentioned, even the 49ers, focusing on defense. See, I would have thought with all the scoring that went on, and it kind of hit the apex when the Rams-Chiefs game happened, defense becomes more important now. I find it even more interesting that offensive-minded teams are going with more defensive-minded additions.
But you saw when the games were at its highest point.
Right.
When you're talking about the Super Bowl, how many points were scored?
Not many.
Defense was as a premium.
I think the A's Mariners outscored the Super Bowl.
Thank you. When you saw the Saints and, the Saints and the Rams 2 weeks prior, what had to show up? Defense. If you think about the one game the defense wasn't at its premium, that was the AFC Championship game with you-know-who, the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, that's not fair. The Chiefs did put 11 defenders out there. There's nothing else to say. They got marched on the entire game.
Oh my God.
I still remember the Chiefs celebrating with 7 minutes to go in the fourth when they finally took the lead and everyone's going crazy. And I'm like, you fools. Brady's not coming down just one more time on you. He's going to come down twice on you. 7 minutes. That's 28 points for Brady.
It's eternity. No question. So I think the teams do continue to focus on defense. And the Rams, they just tried to do – what they tried to do is – plug a hole because they knew they were going to lose a lot of guys' codes because didn't have the money. They put themselves in a bad situation. It was all or nothing last year. So now they still have some guys that they believe can help them. They're going to still compete, but I don't think that necessarily you can't give this team a B. I think it's a C plus because they did bring in some good veteran guys.
You're a hard grader, man.
Yeah, because it's not.
You got C's, B minuses, C plus.
It's in a Montessori school.
Okay, tell me something. Name me a guy that they brought in that is an A-plus player that can play at a high level. Give me the pass rush from Matthews. Is he going to get you double-digit sacks? Probably not anymore. Think about
Under Wade Phillips, maybe? Maybe get you under Wade Phillips?
No, because he's going to be a spot player. And then you look at Weddle. They brought in a guy. Is he an A player now? B player? Is he, middle of the line, C-plus? He's a solid guy. So I'm looking at it from a perspective. Did you get younger? Did you get more talent? And those questions, Bortles, think about what did they get more talented? So when you give it an A, you think about
physically or mentally? Because I'll tell you, Weddle might be a B- physical talent at this stage of his career, but he's A when it comes to the mental part of the game.
It's not just that. You have to look at the situation. They didn't have a ton of money to spend. They also didn't have a ton of holes that they needed to plug. The reality was for the Rams, you just went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You were going to lose some guys. There were some changes that needed to be made. What were you going to do? Was the ship going to come completely undone and just disintegrate out there in the ocean, or were you going to figure it out? Roger Saffold, I think, hurts. He was willing to take a pay cut to stay. He wanted to take a hometown discount to stay with the Rams. They couldn't make it work. Outside of that, losing LaMarcus Joyner, they saw that one coming. Losing Mark Barron, he never lived up to expectations. And Sue, I think everyone realized that was a rental. You bring in Clay Matthews, he can fit a need.
Yes.
Eric Weddle can fit a need. Blake Bortles, I'd actually like to see him get a start just to see what he does in that offense. The concern I'd have with them is the same concern as last year. It's Todd Gurley. He's got the arthritis in the knee. That's the concern. But by and large, you're not going to get too excited about the Rams did, but I don't think the Rams were trying to excite anyone in free agency. They were trying to not let it come unglued.
Yeah,
they found a way to do that.
Yeah, that's my reverse Cardinal theory. The Cardinals had so much work to do. They were the most active. The Rams are so far ahead of the rest of the division. I would say that. That's true. They needed less to fill.
And that's why with Arizona, though, Arizona got younger, they made some, and then they got older, So I like what they
did. But you need that.
Yes, I like the veteran guys. Yes, but did they go get dominant players? And that's the question that still is out there.
They're not ready to do that, are they?
I think that you have to get at least one or two. Because I'm going to tell you right now, well, I'll just wait till we continue this.
Okay.
But I do believe that the Rams, that's why I gave them a C+, B- because they did fill the needs that they were losing.
All right, now ultimately that leads us to the San Francisco 49ers, who were a splashy, if not splashier than anybody in the division. In comes D Ford, Quan Alexander, Tevin Coleman, Jason Verrett, and Jordan Matthews. They also re-signed Jimmy Ward and Antoine Exum. Lost guys like Pierre Garçon, but by and large, there weren't a lot of losses. You don't have a lot of players leaving for greener pastures or other pastures. How do you grade the Niners compared to the rest of the NFC West?
And let's start at a need that we were talking about, Cozy, and you said the receiver. You said they needed to get a receiver. Did they get better at receiver? I would say they did. I think if you look at Jordy Matthews, you say, is he better than Pierre Garçon? Pierre Garçon got you two. He was here for 2 years. He got you two touchdowns. And not saying that this Matthews is going to just burn it up and tear it up, but you got to say that they got better. Here's a guy that had 900 yards 1 year. We see he's got some upside. Can he perform? This is a guy that is that, Joe, as you like to say, a lottery ticket. A guy that could be pretty good if he's healthy, if he gets in the right system. So with that particular guy in the red zone, you got a guy who's taller than Pierre Garçon, jump ball. He can do other things. So with
guys, his best year was 2015.
Yeah,
and he was under 1,000 yards.
He's cheap. He's a scratch-off lottery ticket. He's really cheap.
He is.
If it doesn't work out, you don't even have to bat an eye at it.
That's why I said before, they got a bunch of Cs. They got a bunch of threes.
I'm with you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm with you, so I'm not going crazy.
Threes get degrees, because threes get degrees.
Get a degree. I think when you talk about what they do at linebacker, got a 25-year Allen, you look at what this guy, is he going to play at the level that we know he can? That's the question. Now, this guy can be a home – this could be not a home run, but a grand slam. In Tampa Bay, they were willing to offer this guy over $10 million a year until he got injured. So when you're talking about a guy that can run sideline to sideline, how is he going to respond after this knee? That's the big question.
They rolled the dice.
They rolled the dice.
That's another lottery ticket, though.
Here's the thing, though. Look at his performance. Go look what he's done when he was healthy. So this, to me – is a B signing with a potential. Because if you look at around this social, you look at the National Football League, say, is he an A player? If he comes back 100%, this can be an A-plus player.
I agree. But if he's a B player, the money you gave him, is it worthwhile?
No.
Okay.
We're talking about Quan Alexander?
Yeah.
It's 1 year, $15 million.
Okay.
It's 1 year, $15 million. If it ends up being a complete disaster this year, you can cut bait, and it's not like it's going to cost you that much on the cap.
So that's the one that I think that I look at it. Joe, like he said, it's a one-year deal if he doesn't play well. But I think this guy, after a year rehabbing, I think that he's got the potential to be an A player.
Let me ask you this. Walking into the season, can you win the division? Not will you, can you? I think, to put that in context, when the Niners made the transition from Harbaugh to Jim Tomsula, based on everything that was going on, not just Tom Sula, but everything that was going on with the roster and all that. If I ask you that question, everyone looks at me and they say no.
Right.
No. And maybe there's some big speech about, well, one in a million, you never know. By and large, can they win the division? No, they can't win it. Let me ask you about this team this year. We all know at number two, they're probably going to get a playmaker. Can they win the division this year?
I think they have a slim chance. I believe, in my opinion, that they're the second best. They're going to be the – if they get Bosa
– No, I'll go ahead.
If they get Bosa – or if they get
Quinnen Williams,
I think you have a comparable defensive front in the Rams. I really believe that. I think you're better defensive front than Seattle. I think then you'll be better defensive front than every team besides the Rams. If they get that pick, you look at their linebackers. You look at what they have. You have to say that. You look at the secondary now. Secondary is still a question, but you do have a cornerback that you brought from San Diego that was a Pro Bowler. If this guy can stay healthy, you have a secondary
talking
now.
About Jason Verrett.
Jason Verrett. You have a secondary that can play. The biggest question to me, in my opinion, is going to be offensively. Can Jimmy G? It's not about the tight end. We know we got running backs now. We got tight end as a receiver and quarterback. Is someone going to emerge? If that happens, if you can get a receiver, one receiver, if you can find someone, either it's going to be free agency or a rookie, whoever's going to step up, if you have a receiver that can get 800 to 900 yards, I think this team has a chance. I really do. Defensively wise, they're in the hunt. You can't say that they're not in the hunt.
Coach, can they win the division?
I think they're the third best team in the division. Can they win? Depends on what they do in the draft. Depends on if some of these rolls of the dice work. You know, D Ford's. You get Bosa and you throw D Ford out there, and Alexander plays well with what you had left. I think your front seven looks pretty darn good. How's the secondary? You brought back Jimmy Ward. A lot of people think he was insignificant last year, right?
He's been insignificant his whole career. I hate to say it. I liked him at, Northern Illinois? Mm-hmm. There's some talent there, but he can't stay healthy. Every year it's going to be safety. It's going to be corner. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. This is going to be the year for Jimmy Ward. And then he's always hurt. He's always hurt. If a guy is always hurt, I cannot go into the next year assuming suddenly you're going to be healthy. History is a great indicator of what the future holds. And if Jimmy Ward gets hurt every single year, I'm more inclined to believe he's going to get hurt this year and not produce much than stay healthy and produce at a really high level. I'd like to be wrong on that.
Right.
Because as a fan of his coming out of college, it's just it hasn't materialized.
I think a lot of people have the exact same opinion.
Yeah.
I still say the 49ers, because of where they were, they're still the third best team in the division. They can catapult upwards. I just can't see them making the move to be better than the Rams right now. I don't know if they can win the division.
I don't got them better than the Rams. I just said, but they can.
Oh, no, I agree.
I think that they can.
Yeah.
When you really slice it, just to make the case, Arizona looks really bad. The Rams are coming off a Super Bowl loss. Now, most of my analysis is rooted in analytics and facts, but there's something to be said about the Super Bowl loser. The Patriots buck that trend, but the Super Bowl loser tends to have a hell of a time the next year trying to figure things out. Tough schedule. It was a long season. A couple things don't break your way. Everyone's kind of gunning for you in your own conference. Something could happen there. Seattle, they're Russell Wilson and who? It used to be Russell Wilson at defense, Marshawn Lynch. They used to have a lot of stuff. Now it's Russ, and man, Legion of Boom's gone.
But they're always
pass
around.
Rush is gone.
But we say that about
them. They're always
a lot.
Around. They are, but yeah. There's a lot out there that this year, if you find a way to click a couple ways, this could be a year where you make a run at it. I wouldn't bet it. I'm not going to say I would bet it, but I would not have sat here and tried to sell you on the Jim Tom Sula year or the Chip Kelly year that they were going to win the division. But this is a year where I could sit here and look at a few different things and say, if it happens,
wow.
Come January, I'm not going to sit here and go totally shocked. Came out of left field, never saw it coming.
If it breaks for them the right way, if they get the breaks that they could be in the race, maybe. I want your right column scenario. If you told me today you can have the right column scenario that you gave yesterday, or no, you get a chance to win the division, I'm taking right column today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come right? December, if I'm watching the graphics going into Sunday Night Football, here are your divisional leaders in the left column. Here are your wild card teams in the center column. And then in the right column, you're in the hunt teams. And that's December, Sunday Night Football. I'm taking that. I would like to talk about football in December this year for the first time ever.
Coach, I'll tell you right now, and you can lock it up without a doubt. It's a heavy bet for me that this team is the second best in the division. This will be without a doubt.
You got a lot out there for this upcoming season.
I know.
You got a lot of stuff out there.
I think that they're the second. I think that this Niner team will finish second in the division. I'm not going to say they win a division, but if they don't finish second in the division, I'm going to be disappointed.
So essentially what you're telling people is they will have a better year than the Seahawks.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like when you put all the clues together.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
All right, let me ask you this.
That could be something. Yeah. That could be foot rub worthy.
In theory, you got two wins with the Cardinals.
I'll make that bet with Dibbers.
And
he's not making that bet again.
You're rubbing his feet.
I'll do his feet and throw him some money in it.
He's not going to be interested in doing that again. That was a one-time thing that's done.
Joe,
he'll make a bet with you. Dibbs is a gambling man. He's down in Vegas right now. We're wishing him the best of luck, but he's not going to be interested in another foot rub bet.
If I look at the 49ers next year, you assume two wins against the Cardinals.
Yep.
You can't do that. You're not in that position.
How many in a row to the Cardinals? I would also have liked to assume that they would have won one against the Cardinals last year. They didn't win either. So we can't make that assumption. Okay. Unfortunately, there are zero assumptions we can make about this
team. Can I assume splits with the Cardinals, Rams, and Seahawks?
So you're saying
I think
if you just flat out said a 3-3 division, then yes, I think you could assume that.
Okay, let's do that.
Doing it with three splits, I don't know if I'd assume that. I would assume that you could go ahead.
Of the six games, you'll take three wins. Okay, that's fair. Either way you want to slice it.
I would take that. Yeah, I would take that.
I'd over that one.
Then you have the Panthers.
You go over three. You think they go 4-2 in the division?
If you had me.
So that's going to be two against Arizona and then two splits or a sweep of Seattle. Or a sweep of the Rams, which I don't think that's going to come.
So you got that tough home field advantage down there in LA. So you would if you set the line, you're taking the under. So
if the line's three, I'm thinking it's probably most likely a push.
Yeah.
If you make it but 3.5, how about
I can't
this?
Set it at 3.5 because I'm going to get too much under money.
I'll take over.
I'm going to get too much under money on 3.5.
Well,
too much under money's coming in. I can see it.
As a
bookmaker, I got to be able to see the future. If I set the Niners NFC West record at 3.5,
set it at 3, Dan.
Under money's going to Niagara Falls in here.
Okay.
It's going to come flowing.
So let's say you get the three games. I think they're going to get four. I think they're going to get the Cardinals twice and split the other two. All right? But let's
say
it's three.
That would be a heck of a run through the division.
I know. But we're trying to say, we're saying things are breaking their way. The rest of the team's coming to Levi's. Panthers are coming across the country. Baker Mayfield's coming with the Browns.
And that's going to be a game. Who would have thought 2 years ago that Niners-Browns would have been a ticket you'd want to have?
Right?
I'd have been like, you can take that ticket.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what you can do with it. Because you're going to need about 20 minutes. I'm really going to go off here. That's a ticket. That's a ticket you're going to want this year.
Falcons are coming in. Again, Shanahan's old team.
They're Packers. Coming outdoors. No, you can win that game.
Packers are coming with Aaron Rodgers. You got some good quarterbacks coming here. Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield, Ryan and Rodgers, and Ben Roethlisberger. Those are the quarterbacks coming into your building.
Ooh.
How do you think you're going to do at home? Even if I give you 4 wins in the division.
You should do well with ticket sales. I'll tell you that there much. You should do well with ticket sales next year.
It might be too warm for me, Joe. I can't sit in the sun.
If you can't beat the Pittsburgh
Steelers. Very fair-skinned Pollock.
Yeah, I know.
If you can't beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, something's wrong with you. And I'm going to tell you right now, they will beat Pittsburgh, lock it up again, and they'll beat Carolina.
This feels reckless. You're throwing out a lot of big prognostications here.
Cam
lock it up, they're going to beat the Steelers?
Joe, Cam Newton probably won't be there. We don't even know if Cam's going to be ready to throw. You know that. You let a lot of guys get out of that building. Carolina Panthers, they're in a tough situation. You can't just sit here and say, oh, 49ers are losing to Carolina. That's foolish. That's foolish, Jim. You're better than that.
Why am I foolish? Yell at him.
He knows better than that.
And, Joseph, you can't just sit here and say they'll just lose to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has not fared well.
I'm not saying that, but it's still the Steelers.
But you can't just say that I'm just being reckless throwing that out there. I just think that—
You got all types of prognostications out there.
I gave them— So you gave me 5 Pro Bowl— You gave me 5 possible—
I'm not done.
Give me some more.
How about the best quarterback in the game, Drew Brees? You got to go down to New Orleans.
That's a loss.
All right.
Okay. No, that's not a loss. I think we should go. They can lose the game.
Yeah,
but I think
exactly.
We should go. I think it's
okay.
A huge win, believe it or not.
I'm with you there.
I think that is a huge win.
I'm with you there.
I think we either convince everyone we need to go to that, or we just take off and we go.
Yeah. You like Lamar Jackson? He's tricky.
No.
Where's that game? Is that game in Baltimore?
That's in Baltimore.
See, that's going to come down
tough.
To scheduling spots.
Yeah,
is it going to be a 10 o'clock game?
Right.
Who do they play the week before?
Yep.
Everything about that gets messy.
The later that game is...
You can defend that, though, with
the
D-line.
The later that game is played in the season, the more I like 49ers.
See, the more I like the Ravens.
Baltimore at home in December...
With John Harbaugh on the sideline? He gets his team ready. December is his month.
Let me tell you something. When you're just pounding the ball and you're just constantly doing that, and you're just doing it, you're wearing down, too. And those running backs are taking some hits, too. You got to look at the backs they have. Ingram's not he's not afraid of contact. He runs to the contact. So you understand. I played this thing, and you get beat up. And when you're a physical team and that's all you rely on, they don't have an LT type of back that don't take the big hits. They got those boys that's going to go run downhill and going to hit you. And then that shoulder, the ACL joint, the AC joint's hurting. You're cannot listen to your shoulders. You're shooting them up in week 7 and 8. You're thinking, okay, I got to get this game. You're not hitting that pads all the time in practice. You're
outside
not
of the
full
money.
Kid.
It sounds like a terrible
Hell
job.
Yeah.
It sounds like a terrible job.
Kid.
Man, you get to week 8, you're just getting shot up left and right.
You better, man. Them shoulder.
Sounds
you're
terrible.
Running back taking them hits, getting downhill, and friggin' cozy. You know that. Them guys, and this is handoff, Lamar Jackson, Reed, and the guys linebacker keep pounding them. And you're in week 8, week 9, and now you're going to sit here and tell me, oh, I'm just going to be running with fresh legs? Man, that wear you out.
I don't know.
Those type of backs. So anyway, right. Hold a press on that one.
You string all of this together. You're making a very pro-Niner argument. You realize that, right? You're making a
very
pro-Niner. I got
to win 8 to 9 games this year, Joe. I got to win 8 to 9 games.
Very guru-esque right now.
Is
Guru feeling better, by the way? I know he was sick yesterday. He back? Let's get to the bottom of that, please.
Just
for my own personal benefit. Thoughts and prayers, Google.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with the show coming up after us. We like people around here.
Yeah, we're just, you know.
People helping people. That's your motto, right?
That's one of the show's rules, yes.
I'm glad you listened.
He knows.
You got some more for me. Where are we at
He's
now?
Our Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, you are. You're strong.
So
bro.
Here's my deal on that. Even though they play the likes of, say, a Buccaneers, a Redskins, and a Bengals on the road, they got to go
Bucks,
east
Redskins,
every time.
And Bengals on the road. You're probably going to need to go 3-0 there. If you want to start talking
but
playoffs,
you're going east.
You're going
east. You're going east. That's hard to do. I don't know. Again, when the schedule lays out, is there a weekend where maybe they can go to maybe they're going to go to Tampa, play the Buccaneers, stay in Florida, then go up to D.C. to play the Redskins? You know, sometimes teams will they'll go to a town and stay.
You're going to want those two back-to-back. You're going to want Bengals, Redskins, or – one of those two with the Bucks back to back. Go to the East Coast for a couple weeks. Hang
Ravens,
out there,
Redskins.
Split at worst, and then come back. You're not going to want Cincinnati in December, because if you're in the hunt, what's going to end up happening is you're going to go there. It's going to be messy. You don't want to deal with the Bengals in that month, because as bad as they may be, you get caught overlooking them. You're thinking about the Rams game at the end of the season or whatever it may be. It's too much. You want the Bengals right where you can see them. You want them right in front of you so you can go punch them in the face, and then you can come back home and handle your business. You know this. Charger games late in the year, you end up stuck in one of those towns. Yeah. You're worried about Denver, the Raiders, or whoever it may be late in the year. Snot bubbles. It's cold. No one's happy about any of that.
Redskins and Baltimore, to me, are the two games that I would say you win easier. Bengals can scare you because they got A.J. and they got a passing game and they got some good running backs. And and the redhead pistol could get hard. But if you're talking about if it's late in the year, I think the Redskins and Baltimore, those are the two that I think that you should win. So I think that's a split. Okay, so I'm with you, Coles. I've been laying this out. I'm not trying, and I'm not playing the homer. I'm just looking at it, what you're bringing me, so that's how I'm laying it out, Cozy.
We got a phone call. Robert in San Jose wants to jump in. Robert, welcome to the show, and thank you for the call. The floor is yours.
Thanks for taking my call, Joe. And Lo, you are being a homer and a straight shill for the 49ers, but we'll leave that for another day.
Whoa.
Joe, you are on Jimmy Ward in regards to not staying healthy, but I think the 49ers have a quarterback who has not demonstrated the ability to stay healthy, who hasn't even played 16 games in a career, let alone in a season, and yet here you guys are talking about the playoffs. How about your quarterback stay healthy for 16 games before we start jumping about playoffs and winning 8 or 9 games?
Hey, but I too would like that, sir. I too would like the quarterback to stay healthy for 16 games. What does Jimmy Ward have to do with it?
You were just talking about you can't count on Jimmy Ward because he's always injured.
Correct.
You can say the same thing about Garoppolo, correct?
He got hurt one time.
He got hurt in New England.
That doesn't count. That wasn't here. He was filling in.
Oh, okay.
Come on, you know how I make my arguments. It's only the facts that matter to my side. Your side's facts do not matter,
going,
sir.
Hey, Robert.
Keep going, Robert. I'm on your side, Robert.
Quiet, Cozumore.
Robert, last year I said this team would win four to six games. That's before the season. That's where I was at. I never went out on a limb and said this was a playoff team. Check the tape. And all I'm saying, Robert.
There's a lot of tape to check with you. Robert, I don't know if that's necessarily accurate.
Robert, we'll have dinner, whatever you want. I'm not being home, and I'm telling you, I'm laying this thing out, and I really want you to remember this day. Mark it down on your calendar. Please, write it down. If this team doesn't win 8 to 9 games, anywhere you want. Robert, I'm making this a
get this guy's information. Big's coming.
He's going to put your information down. He's going to take it. If they don't win 8 to 9 games, anywhere you want, you want to guess,
just
I'll take you to dinner.
At least 8 games. They're going to win at least 8 games.
At least 8 games.
Right,
at
there
least
you go.
My number's
I'll
8.
I'll take that bet.
Anywhere you want. They're going to get your information. Any dinner you
gotta
want.
You got to be careful. Anywhere you want. This is the Bay Area. Anywhere within the Bay Area. He's not taking you to Singapore.
Yeah,
I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
In the Bay Area.
Well, you got to make sure clarification. Okay. I'm here to represent
you. Does the French laundry count?
I think
about
French laundry.
You are that confident they're going to get to 8 wins?
Yes.
If you're a Niner fan and you're listening to this show right now, you've got to be excited that Lorenzo Neal is out there this confident in 8 wins.
Or you got to be
big.
You got to be upset because you know he's a wing nut.
The only thing this team, I hope Jimmy G, if they stay healthy, watch. Just watch, guys. Watch how it plays out.
888-957-9570. Let's bring him in. I think you're going to have a lot of excited Niner fans here. 888-957-9570. Low feels.
Leave your number, Robert.
Extraordinarily confident in 8 wins. Extraordinarily confident. That's got to get people gassed up.
I didn't do this last year. You know I didn't.
If I recall, and this isn't to put you in a bad spot, I remember you were excited about them, and then we started to get into training camp. We started to examine the schedule, and you started to back away, which is fine because the season had started. That's allowed. You get new information. You make new decisions. You retweak things. That's completely fine. But I think you were at one point excited about them, and then you did throttle back. 4-6, I'm not sure if it was that, but I know that you did get to a point where you did not feel they were going to have a winning record, and that was before the season started. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, fair. Fair.
Okay.
I just watch. Coach, I'm not trying to be a homer.
I know. I just want to ask you a question.
He didn't call you that. He called you a shill.
Yeah.
Is this one way? Are you taking him to dinner, or if it goes the other way, do they take you to dinner?
He doesn't even need bets.
You don't want dinner?
No. Yeah,
he's just one-sided?
I just want to give it. I'll give him the $500.
My God, you got the phone lines juice.
Bring it.
I think they're excited, though. I think you got people fired up about something here. And it's not just March Madness. It's not just that the madness is in the air. Speaking of which, play the under, 130 points, Syracuse and Baylor. You notice throughout the day, I'm just sprinkling.
I'm writing these
just
down.
Just sprinkling throughout the day, baby. That's what we're doing around here.
Give me that one more time.
It's the holidays. One more time. Well, I'm going to recap everything for you. We open the show with a bang. See,
Don't give it. If they're not here at 6 and 7, don't give it.
No. ELE. Everybody love everybody.
Give it at the end of the show.
Stop trying to take away the love. Okay? The show's all about the love. We open the show. We do things in reverse. You know, you ever go to a fireworks show? They shoot off some fireworks and that's the grand finale?
Yes.
We come out grand finale first. And then we ease back and then you leave disappointed. That's pretty much how we work. Right? Reverse grand finale.
I love this idea.
So, pick number one today. UC Irvine, the Anteaters, plus the points over Kansas State. Pick number two, Oregon, plus the points over Wisconsin. Those games are both tomorrow, so you don't have to rush. Game number three, I believe, is today. Syracuse-Baylor, under 130 total points. Sprinkling throughout the day. Sprinkling winners on the ice cream sundae that is your life. 888-957-9570. Lowe, very excited about Niner free agency. Gave a strong grade. Likes the idea of what's coming in the draft. Has found his way to 8 wins. Hasn't locked in at 8 wins because we're not locking in at this point yet, but he seems to have found his way to 8 wins. Jim Cozumel,
he's not
a bit more.
Yeah. He says no.
Bearish, if I may say. A bit more bearish if this were Wall Street.
Yeah. That's a good call. I would say I'm a bit more bearish on what the team is doing.
What do you got him at, 4 or 5 wins? What do you
No. Last
like
year,
a Russian.
No, because last year I had him at 5 was my number last year if they stayed healthy the whole year. See, everyone thought, well,
not exactly
some people
aiming for the stars there.
No, exactly. But some people thought they could be a 9-10-win team if everything broke. If they get to 8 wins this year, it's because something happened to their opponents. Something happened in their division to a team. Like Gurley can't play and the quarterback goes down. I just don't see the Niners as any more than 6 or 7. 6 or 7 if it breaks right.
I think that's when I go to that 9 if it breaks right for them.
Okay.
I like the idea of New Orleans in week 16. They've already won 8 games. Then we can go down there and celebrate. We can get you back off the wagon.
Just for
a quick weekend.
Right now. I will. I'll do it.
No, we're not doing that. Come on.
I won't go hard.
Just a couple hurricanes at Patty O'Brien's.
Yeah,
no
maybe,
big
maybe
deal.
Four. That's all. My number's 4.
Tyler and Concord.
Tyler!
What do you think about the conversation? Tyler and Concord, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning? So I was reading an article the other day on my Bleacher Report app, and it was basically bashing the moves the Niners had done, specifically the D4 trade. I just wanted to say I watched that guy play at Auburn because I'm an Auburn fan, so I went to the national championship when they played Florida State. There was 2 players on the field that stood out every play. It was Telvin Smith, who now plays for the Jags, and it was D Ford. That guy's motor just doesn't stop. I would take him in a heartbeat on my team, and I'm a Titans fan, so I would take him in a heartbeat.
And then, Titans, baby.
Just to close it out, O'Neal, I'd like to take you to dinner sometime. I owe you from when I met you in 2007. So just let me know when you want to take me up on that offer, and I'll take you out to dinner. I owe you.
Thanks, brother.
So.
Cool. Thanks, brother.
That's all right. You're not getting flagged for that. You're not getting flagged for that. You're having a great show today. That's a great phone call.
You guys are getting soft.
I'd like people to call up and be like, Joe, I like
that DM,
dinner.
Buddy. Get me on that DM on my Twitter and Instagram, and I'll hook you up.
Those people will communicate with you on there. Lowe ain't going to the DMs. Come on. You know, you bet. You're too big time.
His people call their people.
He's not handling DM himself.
Stop. All right. What we got?
Keep it going.
You would like more people to call up and offer you dinners?
No.
Who else would like to take Lowe to dinner? Maybe we can get 365 people. You got your year covered. 888-957-9570. Cole, San Jose. Cole, thank you for the phone call. Floor is yours. Your thoughts on the conversation.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning. Hey, Lowe, I'm a huge Niner fan. I love the free agent moves they've made this offseason. Honestly, but I just wanted to ask you, so we have a number of players that are coming off injuries that either we acquired or we had last season that got injured. How many of these people do you think actually turn up this year and play the way that you think? I don't have the number right now, but if you guys could list them out and then think about how many of them are actually likely going to get back to where you think they are. And then still reevaluate that 8 to 9 wins. I think they're more around 7, 9, 8, 8.
Yeah, I got
it's quite, a, quite a request. You want me to go line by line through the Declaration of Independence while I'm at it?
I
mean, geez, just evaluate every injury?
I like the 8 wins. I'm with you, buddy. I said 8. I'm saying 8, at least 8. So here's what you got to realize. They understand that McKinnon may not be 100%, and that's why I went out and got a security blanket in Tevin Coleman. They said, let's go out and get a running back, 26 years old, played in Atlanta, and they got him on the cheap. It's a $5 million deal. They understand what they needed to do. They said, you know what? We got to address the tight end. We got to address the receiver position. So they went out and got a receiver that at least had more upside and more potential than Pierre Garçon. He's younger. He's in his 20s. So they addressed that. They also know that they needed to get a pass rusher. D Ford, last I checked, wasn't injured. Last I checked, this guy had 13, 14 sacks. He can wreck shop. So you got better there. So you're talking about a guy who's not injured. So that is a step up. Navarrus Buckner is going to play way. Navarrus Buckner maybe not have 10 or 11 sacks, but he is going to play better.
Command a double team and let everyone else get those sacks.
Let him eat. Thank you. And now if you go out and get Quentin or if you get Nick Bosa, you've gotten better. So I think that this team, you know, I know Alexander, we got to see how he comes back off the knee injury, the linebacker, but you already have. Now you got two linebackers that can play inside and run sideline to sideline. So I really believe defensively you are going to see a much better defense that went from 22 into the top 12. You have a top 12 defense this year. Mark the tape. Write it down.
And I believe that you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, aradio.com, sports station. Good morning. Happy holidays. Enjoy the madness. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game with a twist. Dibs in Vegas for the madness. We wish him the best of luck. Jim Cozumore in his stead. Greg Papa will be joining us in 28 minutes at 8:30. At 8:45 today and tomorrow, we've got Black Keys tickets to give away. They're coming to Chase Center next November. We've got two pair to give away today at 8:45. We're giving away two pair tomorrow at 8:45. Now, I can't guarantee today at exactly 8:45 because, like I said, Pop is on at 8:30. And, well, when you let the hay out of the barn, it can blow around a little bit. So, you know, that conversation may go past 8:45 if we're so lucky to hear his thoughts and takes. But right around that time, Black Keys tickets available for you. Monty Poole on the Warriors and the Indiana game tonight. He will join us at 9:30. Woo! Lowe's got the phone lines gassed up. We did not expect to do that much on the Niners and the free agency grades in the NFC West, but as we worked through all of it, Co started bringing out the schedule, and the next thing you know, Lowe's got himself at 8 wins minimum, thinks they're going to be the second best team in the division, and we're kind of dancing around the idea of a legitimate threat to a wild card position. Now, these are the early prognostications. Premature prognostications, what we call this.
Sure.
Premature prognostications.